Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the glorious testimony we are hearing and just rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. It is written, in your presence is the fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How we pray that we discern that presence everywhere we go. Because I am with you all. No matter what difficulty we face, the Lord is always there.
Amen.
Lord, we thank thee, Lord. Nothing good, nothing good, Jehovah Shammah. Lord, we thank you for your abiding presence.
Amen.
As we just read your word this morning, Father, we are trusting you as always that you will bless the reading of your word. Father, we give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' holy name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And you may praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, by God's grace, spiritual warfare. See, you have been in it, I have been in it. Spiritual warfare. Well, in discussing, let me see here. Praise the Lord. So in discussing this subject, spiritual warfare, we will take inspiration from what we believe to be the most fascinating chapter in the entire Old Testament. And that chapter is the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. Praise the Lord. Daniel 10. Not really prophecy this morning, but we're talking about spiritual warfare, right? I think I'm bringing some little, prophecy, whatever, but that is subject by God's grace. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing, was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. So we are told right there that Daniel, that was his last vision. He had many times he interpreted the visions, right? Three of them. And the other book of this, the old book, the book of the king had a dream, right? The image and everything, we know that. Then again, in fact, he had two. Then he had the dream of the tree that filled the whole heart and so on, that interpreted it for him and everything like that. And also Belshazzar, the other king and so forth. Had a dream, the idea of the war, and so on, Daniel chapter 6, I believe it is, and interpreted it and so on. But now, beginning from chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, he began to now have his own dream and so forth, which are actually extensions, of what Nebuchadnezzar had. Those, I won't go there, but anyway, but so this is the last of his visions, anyway, and Daniel's last vision is what we have been talking here as well, It came to him in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus, which was actually, historically speaking, was 533 BC, actually, if you want to go historically and so forth. Bible is true, right? Praise the Lord. They trace it back to 533 BC, when this thing occurred and so forth, Cyrus and so forth. It's in history too, Anyway, so we are told in the first chapter, Daniel 1:21, and Daniel continued even unto the fourth year of King Cyrus. So, putting the two together, that the vision came to him in the third year of the reign of Cyrus, it means that he was to continue to the fourth year, right?
Yes.
It looked like maybe he has retired at that time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can you hear what I'm trying to say? He is to continue to the fourth year of Cyrus, right? This vision came to him on the third reign of Cyrus, right? Third year, right? So we are thinking he has retired because it's according to the fourth year, right? Anyway, that's just in between the lines, right? Anyway, another thing is this. He was already 90 years old at this time when the vision came, praise the Lord. So anyway, so 3 years before that time, some of the Jews took advantage of this same Cyrus who declared that they cannot go back to Jerusalem and restore the walls and build Israel. So 3 years before that time, so the decree to return to Judah, you can read that in Ezra chapter 1. I don't want to go there. It's all there. So why Daniel did not return with these people, we don't know why. Maybe because of his age, right? Why did he go with them? To go and rebuild the Jerusalem and the wall. Why is it? We are thinking maybe because of his age, number one. He was over 90 years old. More importantly, we believe maybe because God has more things to reveal to him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why I believe he was there. So God kept him there in Babylon and so forth. So because God wanted to reveal more things to him, that so he was there. So relief from the body of public affair, because we believe in retire. Giving the scripture I gave you now, Daniel 1:21, and this one that I show you here now, you know. So, and a relief from the public affairs, Daniel doubtless spent his time in inquiring as to the success of those Jews who had returned to Jerusalem in building up the walls and, you know, and restoring the temple. In God's work, there's no retirement. Amen. Praise the Lord. He could retire from he was a contractor, right? Praise the Lord. To every succeeding king, so to say. Now, he didn't do that anymore, as far as we believe, but God's word has no retirement. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So that's what it is, and so that, you know. Anyway, like Papa John, Book of Revelation, I mean, he was the last of the apostles. Praise the Lord. So, yeah, there's no retirement in this world. Not in Jesus come. Anyway, praise the Lord. So, that's it now. So, and so in Daniel 10 to now, continue this thing. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. You see, that's even done in the Old Testament, or a retired man, you know, a man of God and so on, still fasting. Don't forget Anna, the prophetess, you know, the daughter of Phanuel, Luke chapter 2, I believe it is, fasting and praying. He has heard the prophecy of Malachi. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly appear in his temple. 400 years have passed. All right, right? All the priests and so on, they are forgotten about the prophecy, but this old woman, 90-something year old, has slaughtered, you know, fasting and praying, right? No excuse not to fast. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And she was rewarded, by the way, right? Truly. When the Messiah came and so forth, you know, she was one of the 2 privileged to take note that made the Messiah, I mean, right in the temple. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
She was consistent. Bible says, he didn't depart from the temple night and day, fasting and praying. Consistency, right? So that's what we need at the end of the age. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So Daniel too will do the same thing. You know, 90-something year old man, so on. Don't retire from public work, but serving the Lord has no retirement. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, so, and I ate no pleasant bread, Daniel said. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint my head at all. Till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Well, like we know, this is just a partial fast, right? Not a full fast, like we're going to be doing in another 2 weeks or so by the grace of God. It doesn't mean that he did not eat or drink anything, but that he refrained from all dainties and restricted his fear to the simplest articles of diet. And this he did for 21 days. And that I doubt not that he would have continued had the angel not intervened at the 24th day. He could have continued. I think so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so on that. You know, so he continued and so on that, you know. Anyway, why was Daniel fasting at 90-something year old? Why was he fasting that morning? We can begin to read between the lines. Number one, he doubtless was disappointed in the number of the Jews that returned at the edict of Cyrus to go back to Jerusalem. Under 50,000 people actually went back. You can see that in Ezra 2:64 says this. Only 42,000 returned. Ezra 2:64, the whole congregation together was 42,303 that returned to Jerusalem to go and rebuild the walls, the temple and so on, that, you know. So Daniel was disappointed why so few of them went and so on. Well, the great majority of the priests and the chief of the people preferred the houses which they had built, you know, and their gardens which they had in Babylon, right? They were so comfortable in Babylon, and they preferred that to going back to the desolation of Jerusalem to rebuild it, right? That's saddened Daniel's heart. Praise the Lord. So we believe that's one of the things that he was fasting about. Not only that, those who are building the temple and the walls in Jerusalem, news have come that the Samaritans, they offer to help those Jews, but the Jews refused them. We don't need your help. So they were disturbing the building of the temple and the walls and so on, and this news came to Daniel and so on. Now, who are the Samaritans? The Samaritans are a mixed people. Now, where they are Syrians, the 10 tribes in the north, when the 10 tribes were taken captive to Assyria, they left a few of the Jews behind. Okay, Now, Assyria, when they do something, when they conquer a place and they take them captive, they will bring other nations to that place. So they didn't take all of them. There are some few Jews left, you know, when they took them captive. And they bring other nations, India, into, you know, Palestine, into Israel. So, and they all mix together, and they intermarried and so on. That's who the Samaritans are, you know, if you want to know their story and so on. And they were enemies to the day of Christ, actually, you know, praise the Lord. So when they were building the temple and the wall, they offered to help the Jews, who they thought. And the Jews refused that, no, we don't need your help. So they were disturbing the building of the temple, you know, of the wall and so on. And then they got to hear all of these things all together. And those who didn't even go. So that we believe that it was fasting and prayer and so on, that, you know. So anyway, and so we see. So now, what an example that is showing us today. You know, what example is that? Beyond a doubt, you know, this USA has entered the most crucial period, you know, of its history, you know, and back Nigeria too. You know, we are dual nationalities, right? Where we are living here has entered, you know, the most crucial period of the history. And so look at the world as a whole. A mass murder over here. Even Australia, where we say that is very, very peaceful, right? Yeah, what is happening over there? You know, 9 Jews were killed, you know, and so on, 39 wounded. That is the place people are trying to run to, right? The only safe place is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. In Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:20 something right there. Praise the Lord. So only in Christ is there safety anyway. So we can see we have to emulate Daniel, you know, and so that, you know. Here in the US and so on, things are happening over here and over there and so on. People who love this country and love our country, Nigeria, should be in prayer all the time, just like Daniel did. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so now let's say we continue in Daniel 10:4. Then he saw a vision of a man. In the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hideke. By the way, Hideke is the Tigris River. Praise the Lord. That's in Babylon, right? That's Tigris River. You know, so you have Euphrates and Tigris, right? Hideke is Tigris. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were guarded with a fine gold of Ophir. His body also was like a berry, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Well, who was this certain man? Who was he? Well, as far as we know, he was no other than the Lord himself. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to expand on that because everything we do is to exalt the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. He was none but the Lord himself. That is God in theophany, you know, appearing to in the form of a man to Daniel in India. We remember back in Genesis 18, you know, all Bible readers, you know that by now. Maybe I mean, you know, how God appeared to Abraham in the company of two angels, right? That's in Genesis 18. No, I don't want to really go back there and all that, you know. And the description here in Daniel also reminds us of the vision of the Lord that John the Apostle saw on the Isle of Patmos. That we will read. In fact, the vision are very, very identical, you know. Let me read to you in Revelation 1:12. Through about verse 18. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. We are trying to identify this certain man that appeared to Daniel, right? And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And verse 13 says, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle. His head and his ears were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. Very, very identical to what you read in Daniel, right? as if they burn in the furnace, and his voice at the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in the strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. The Bible says,
Amen.
I have the keys of hell and of death. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So what we have here, what Daniel saw was the pre-incarnate Christ. Praise the Lord. That's what the pre-incarnate Christ. And what Apostle John saw here is the glorified Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's the same personalized, he's the same person, you know, as he saw in the different, you know, different ages and so on, how he appeared and things like that, you know. And we know that the effect of the visions of Daniel and John upon themselves was the same. They both fainted. Look at Daniel 10, 8 and 9. And there remained no strength in me, he said, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, he said. There was I in the deep sleep on my feet and my face toward the ground. Revelation 1:17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. So you can't miss that it is the Lord. He would have appeared to him there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This similarity of the effect of the vision on both Daniel and John upon each of them is proof that the certain man mentioned in Daniel was no other but the Lord himself. Even say that further, another indication that it was the Lord is that those with Daniel were terrified by the supernatural happenings and they fled from the scene. Just, if you remember Apostle John, I'm sorry, Paul on the way to Damascus, right? You know, the same thing happened when he received the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Let's read that, you know. And here is Paul's testimony to Agrippa, King Agrippa, in Acts 26:13. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun. Can you imagine the creator of the sun appear, right? The sun was obscured. Praise the Lord. Like you are out there, and the light came upon you, and it's better even the brightness of the sun. Yes. Anyway, shining around about me, and then which journey with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, the same experience, right, like we saw in Daniel and in Revelation, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. So the experiences of these people are the same thing. So to just let you know, that certain man that he saw was none other but the Lord himself. Back to Daniel 10:10 now. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Well, many people get confused there, you know, who is this person that now touched Daniel? Who is he? Is he the same Lord that we saw before? No, not really. You know, not really. So because why? You know, it is not the first time that Daniel was being saluted, you know, this way as a man greatly beloved. So we're going to identify by the scripture who is touching him at this time. You know, we remember that he received the same salutation from Angel Gabriel in a previous vision. Daniel 9:23 says this: At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee. Now watch this, for thou art greatly beloved, right? See? Now, therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So it now becomes, it seems, you know, that the heavenly messenger now that touched him here is the same angel Gabriel, you know, who then helped him and up and so on, that, you know. So you know, we just leave that one there. So now, verse 12 of Daniel 10. I know the subject, talking about spiritual warfare, right? We get there, just exhorting the Lord here. You know, it's you know, it's vision and revelation and appearances and so on. Class 12. Then said he unto me, fear not. You know, we are saying this is Gabriel, as far as we know from the scripture. He gave the same salutation that he gave him in Daniel 9, thou greatly beloved. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the fourth day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. So the words spoken by the angel, I mean, at this point, are of very, very great significance, you know, and will lead us to the subject proper, which is spiritual warfare, right? 21 days had elapsed since Daniel had set himself to prayer and fasting. When the angel finally appeared, he declared that, and I read again, from the fourth day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. So you see, you know, entering spiritual warfare, right? That will explain certain things to us, even in your prayer life and so forth as we go on and some of that, you know. Why had the angel not able to reach Daniel all this time for 3 weeks? Why couldn't he do it? Well, the Bible tells us, after all, previously, other prayers of Daniel, which he has prayed, have been answered instantly. I will show you an example in Daniel 9:21. Yea, why I was speaking in prayer, you know, even the man Gabriel, whom had I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So it was answered right away in the previous prayer. Daniel flew very swiftly. I'm sorry. the angel Gabriel flew very, very swiftly. You know? And so what happened this time? That it took 3 weeks and so on. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come for to give thee skill and understanding. So why the long delay this time around? Why? What's going on? Well, the angel gave him an explanation, saying that the prince of Persia has withstood him during this time. Well, if people just read between the lines, who is it? Cyrus was the prince of Persia at that time, right? Mm-hmm. So it couldn't be Cyrus, right? Praise the Lord. It couldn't be Cyrus. So the prince of Persia referred to could not be Cyrus at all, who was the, you know, the earthly prince of Persia at that time. Couldn't be. After all, for it to have been inconceivable that a human being could successfully resist an archangel for three, not even for a moment, right? Praise the Lord. So it's not a human, not a human being and so on. What happened was that the angel lifted the veil of the unseen world. You know, the veil, the spiritual world, right? The angel lifted the veil of the unseen world and permitted Daniel and you and I today to see something of what takes place in the battle between the powers of darkness and the angelic host, you know. That's, you know, what was happening in India. This warfare, we can talk about spiritual warfare, right? This warfare in which we, even the saints of God, are participating, also referred to in the New Testament in Ephesians 6. Praise the Lord. You see? So what is it? The same warfare, 6:12 of Ephesians. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rest of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's called the prince of Persia, right? That kind of, you know, rulers. No, they are wicked rulers under Satan, right? You know, so we are warning against those things, just like Daniel did, right? So anyway, the truth is that Satan has organized his kingdom of evil angels and demon spirits into a prolonged and desperate warfare against God and his program. That's what happened, you know. These powers of the dark world do not intend to accept their doom without the fiercest kind of resistance. They don't want to do it, but they will do it, whether they like it or not. Even as there are various kingdoms on earth, so Satan too has set his princes over kingdoms and principalities. The fact that he has a prince of Persia and also a prince over Grecia, under him, indicates that actually he has any streets over every nation. We can just go from there without being, we can't go too far from being right by saying that if he has won over Persia, he has won over Grecia, then we can assume or know that he has them over every nation, Satan does, and so on. So he is not omnipresent like God. So it depends upon this ministries, upon this nation to carry out his evil atrocities and rebellion against God. You know, he is not omniscient, he's not all knowing, he's not all present. So he has to use his ministry to do his evil work and so on. Now, this is ministry. Their power, you know, has definite limitation anyway. You know, for when more assistance is needed by the saints, God will send reinforcements. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but you know, so Satan's power is limited, not unlimited, not all-knowing, not omnipotent, is not omnipresent, so it's limited. Only Christ has all those attributes combined together and so forth. Now, we remember, so we see that even the Lord, talking about reinforcement, at the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, to tell you about the reinforcement and so on, in Matthew 26:53, you know, the Bible says that when the path of darkness caused Christ's death at Calvary, the Lord told them in Matthew 26:53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He could have got some reinforcement, but he didn't do that, because how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? Amen. If he did that, we would not be here today. Praise the Lord. There will be no salvation, and so the human race would have been doomed for eternity. He couldn't do that. So though, for this cause, he came to the world, that he may do that his life for us and things like that, you know. So anyway, but he always saw reinforcement, you know, for his people, and when there is any trouble with devil and something like that, you know. So anyway, so we see that there. There are other instances anyway in the Bible in which Satan has withstood the angels of God. You know, in Jude 9, we read, Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a any accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So the same Michael, as we read now, addressed as one of the chief princes that came to help Angel Gabriel, I would think so, Angel Gabriel in India, against the prince of the kingdom of Persia, was also involved here too, you know. So in the future, that same Michael, will be involved again. Revelation 12. The last time that was the cast down and so on. 12:7 of Revelation, Michael coming again. And there was war in heaven. So talking about spiritual warfare, right? And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And then the dragon fought and his angels. Again, Michael, this time with his angels, will be in conflict with the dragon and his angels. The battle will come to an end with Satan and his host being cast out upon the face of the earth. Revelation 12:12 says that he will say, "Woe unto those who are upon the earth, because Satan is come unto you." At that time, the rapture has taken place already. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, we're gone at that time and so on. Those who are remaining, I say, "Woe unto them." and so that the joy in heaven and so on, Satan is cast out of the heavenlies and so forth, that, you know. So anyway, so we see. So in the present case, anyway, the prince of Persia is detaining the archangel, was trying to do what? To short God's purpose for Daniel's people, meaning the Jews at that time. So the purpose of the angel's visit, we are told, the angel then instructed Daniel regarding the real purpose of his visit. He had been sent of God to make known unto Daniel what was to befall his people, meaning the Jews, in the latter days, we are told. Anyway, the angel then informed Daniel that he was still engaged in a great warfare against the powers of the prince of Persia. Why? Because the prince of Persia had been checkmated at that time, but not utterly defeated. So when that event occurred, the angel declared that another prince, the prince of Gracia, meaning Greece, will come and take over his domain. So we see from what I just read now, we see the age-long battle, talking about spiritual warfare, right? The age-long battle in the heavens that occupied the attention of both angels and the saints of God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but pretty soon, the long fought battle of the prophet will come to an end, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. I say pretty soon, the long fought battle will come to an end, the rapture and so forth. It's right to the rapture, as Bible says, you know, the dragon and so on, the woman travail, the church and so on, bringing forth the man child, even after that point, you know, trying to prevent the rapture and so forth, but he failed utterly. Praise the Lord. He couldn't stop us and so on. And you know, when he said, come up hither, you know, not gravity, not Satan, not the dragon can stop us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly, the 10th chapter of book of Daniel is the most fascinating in the entire Old Testament for this revelation that we just read about the warfare behind the scene, the spiritual warfare going up all there and so on, which we also told in Ephesians 6, right? It reveals the ceaseless warfare that is being carried on between the righteous angels and Satan and the saints of God. We see the Lord appear to Daniel in the eye in Theophany to see how serious it was. Angels appear, including Michael himself. Gabriel was there, and other unnamed heavenly beings, you know, in that chapter and so on, that we just read just now. It teaches us what? That for certain prayers of the saints to prevail, the powers of the unseen host of heaven must be overcome. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, starting of your prayer, Daniel prayed at one time, immediately, while I was saying prayer, you know, that I know you, and the Gabriel appeared, no delay. So to you and I too, that cannot see why some of your prayer takes a long time. We can't explain it, all of it. You pray at times, it happens right away. But many times, you have to wait for some time, you know, trusting the Lord and so on, praising the Lord in between and so on. So the saint warfare is therefore a spiritual war, spiritual warfare, right? What is true of nations, you know, is also true of individuals, what I'm trying to say here. Satan dispatches his agents or emissaries rather to harass the saints. He does even till now. He does it all the time and so on. The extent of the forces he assigned to battle or to against your mind or to his saints depends to no little degree on the amount of damage that you are doing to his kingdom. Amen? I say that again. The amount of forces Satan will release against a Christian we depend on no little extent to how much damage you are doing to his kingdom, amen? When you think that you are a greater threat, then we put more pressure on you. Praise the Lord. So that's why you go through different things depending on, you know, your standing, how you are damaging the devil's kingdom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back to the very first book in the Bible. We believe it's Job is the first book. Thank God for Genesis and so on. Well, you know, but that's a different subject, you know. Back to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Job and so forth. Because of Job's faithfulness, I'm saying that the amount of force Satan used against you will depend on how much damage you are doing to his kingdom, right? Let's take the very first book we know to be the scripture, Job. So because of Job's faithfulness, God built a hedge around him. Talking about spiritual warfare, right? Which Satan could not penetrate until God permitted him, right? We know this one. God does not operate by a whim at all. No, he doesn't. And although in the end, it will cause all things to work together for you and I, but at times, he will permit Satan, see what I'm saying? Permit Satan to really take advantage of you, so to say, you know, but in the end, as you stand your ground in the name of the Lord, all things will work together for good. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Apparently, as far as Job is concerned, here is his own problem. In Job 3:25, I say why God permitted Satan to do that. It's written in Job 3:25. No spiritual warfare. Like, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, Job said. And that which was I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety. Job, you are in safety. God beat an edge around you, Job. Praise the Lord. When you are in trouble and so on, the angel of the Lord is a copy around you and I. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Job was saying, I was not in safety. Yes, an edge around you because of fear. That's why you break the thing. Either break something, it happens to be bad, right? Neither had I rest, he said. Neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came, he said. So we see, so it was God permitted because Job was afraid, he feared and so on. We took it from there and back to individual here. So it is true, a true saying, that fear will allow an open door for the enemy to enter. Praise the Lord. Let us be very careful. All over the Bible, my brother was sharing the other day, I was listening to him and so on, that word fear, you know, I don't know how many say that every day, you know, that it's all over the Bible, you know, to Revelation, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, right? The Bible tells us all the time, you know, so anyway, it's a true saying that fear will allow an open door for the enemy to enter. Anyway, consistent prayer builds a bulwark of defense around us. Just as Satan sends his emissaries to harass you and I, so God dispatches his angels to protect us. Of this, we are told in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all, meaning even all the angels actually, all of them, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, which shall be heirs of salvation? In the end, what are you fearing? What do I need to fear? Praise the Lord. You see, but we have to get used to it. By reason of use, we have to set our senses in these things. Praise the Lord. By reason of you, by practicing the scriptures, amen? Doesn't come overnight. By practicing the scriptures, then you get mature in these things and so on that, you know? Praise the Lord. So anyway, so we see that right there. So, and wars are made up of many battles. After your first battle is won, you can expect Satan to try to reclaim lost territory by attacking you in three areas. In your mind, in your emotion, and in your will. The mind becomes the battleground all the time. Praise the Lord. See? No? And your will, try to break your will to resist him. Praise the Lord. You got to put on the whole armor of God now. See? Try to break your will, corrupt your mind, and lie to you and so on. That's what it is, right? So remember that Satan is the father of lies. Don't forget that. He will lie all the time. The Bible says there's no truth in him. He lied from the beginning. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, the Bible says, you know, he deceived the whole world, you know, and some of that, you know, the tribulation and some of that, you know. Soon after, so the victory, you have a victory now, watch out. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, thank God for the victory, but watch out now. Soon after the victory, he will try to tell you that you were never even delivered in the first place. He will lie. He will try to deceive you by counterfeiting your past symptoms of fear. He will most certainly try to tempt you with the easy way out of the next fear. I mean, when the next fear comes unto you, I want to show you that an easy way out, as long as you know. So in that case, what do you do? Got a victory. He will come again as long as you know. What do you do? The same thing in the Bible, we are told to do in James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Talking about spiritual warfare, right? It's a ceaseless war until the rapture time and so on. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. God ordained it to be so. You know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said he will flee from you and so forth. Now, where many of us we do a pretty good job of submitting to God and but I tell you, until you fully determine to also resist the devil, there is no fight at all. If you don't try to resist him, there's no fight, right? You know, when there is no fight, what happens? Satan wins automatically if you don't put up a fight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Resisting, the Bible says, and so on. However, the moment you choose to stand and resist, you establish a turning point in this warfare. Anytime, anyone you face. No longer are you merely Satan's pawn to push around when you put up a resistance in the name of the Lord Jesus. Right? Resist him, right? You are someone to now contend with as far as Satan is concerned. Now, as soon as you prove to the devil that you mean business, the battle is on. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's a battle, and so on, but the Lord is the captain of the host. I always rejoice in that. Amen? The captain of the host is here. Praise God. He's watching over, and I know, so he's guiding, he's leading us. Ephesians 6:13, like I said you before, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Amen? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, so, and you know the way I like to apply that scripture, having that breastplate of righteousness is this, that Jesus is your righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:30 tell you that if you want to go check it on your own, praise the Lord. Christ has been made unto us, you know, redemption. He made unto us wisdom, sanctification, redemption, and righteousness. He's my righteousness. Praise the Lord. Thank God, as I told you, when we come to Christ, we now know our own righteousness. They're like filthy rags, right? He threw them away. Praise the Lord. He's our righteousness. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, the whole chapter of Ephesians will tell you the rest of the thing. You know, the entire chapter holds many keys to spiritual warfare, including the armor you must put on for any offensive encounter with the devil. Anytime you stand facing him, holding firm, which you must do, and exposing the spirit of fear by calling him by the name, you are on the offensive. Call fear by his name and then tell him, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Amen. But spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In another place, the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba Father. Praise the Lord. We are the sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. Of course, we all know that by now, that this kind of warfare is never easy. If I tell you it's easy, I will be lying. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not easy at all. Even our Lord Jesus himself battled hard in the Garden of Gethsemane that literally sweat blood. Amen? See? If it wasn't, if it wasn't easy for him, don't think it's going to be easy for us. That's why he said that endure to the end, right? So anyway, the scripture warned us where admonishing people who are falling behind in Hebrews 12:4. Right? So people are trying to backslide and so on. And then in Hebrews 12:4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, you know. Trying to warn the people and so on like that, you know. So we see that right here. So it is at the point when you literally feel in the spirit that your own blood is about to be poured out, that God's power sweep into your being like a flood, and the enemy is gone. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you had to be that breaking point, right? Don't forget Elijah and so on. I mean, let me now die. I'm not better than my fathers and so on. That's at the breaking point. Praise the Lord. God will call me and so on that, you know. So if you just hold on right there, you know, the Lord will give you the breakthrough that you need and so on. So we see. Now, is spiritual warfare pretty? Not really, brother and sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. The only joy we have, the Lord is the captain of the host. Amen. That's our confidence and so on. No, it's not pretty. You know, will your war against fear be pretty? I tell you, no. You know by now too yourself. If you want God, want to be useful for God more and more, want God to use you more and more, I know you want, then what you do is God has already equipped you and I, you know, with all that we need to do the warfare. Amen?
Amen.
He has already equipped us, you know, Oh yeah, as I read the thing. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Let me show you how I have equipped you and I. He's wanting to be equipped. I always think about David and so on. He said, it teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. So you have the weapons, you must know how to use the weapons, amen. Mm-hmm. Give you a gun. I've never fired a gun in all my life, right? I don't know how to use a gun, I have to learn how to use the gun, right? Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's see here. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare, talking about spiritual warfare, are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, amen. No matter how stronghold it may be, amen. We have the weaponry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, casting down imagination. These are the tools of the devil, right? Imaginations and so on. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. And even that in itself, I mean, I'm telling you in the daily warfare, it's not because it is easy and so on, that you know, even casting down every wayward imagination and bringing them all the fearful thoughts to the business of Christ, not even really easy and so on. So what happens? But you are not alone, you see? You're not alone. Physics is not easy. You're not alone. We all face it together that love the Lord. It is all part of qualifying for God's army. Amen? Holding your own, you know, is all part. I always rejoice. I say, Lord, thank God for the warfare. Amen? Mm-hmm. Without the cross, there's no crown. Brother and sister, amen? Mm-hmm. Without the cross, there's no crown. Praise the Lord. So I just encourage yourself and so on. Thank God for this test. Thank God for this trial and so forth. There's no temptation happen to you. But that is common to man, right? But God will make a way out of every one of them if you stay your ground. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that's what we know. So we see, so we see right there. So again, casting down every wayward thing and all that, you know. So now, a blow by blow account of this spiritual battle and their outcome are described in this scripture, which I like a lot, in 1 Peter 5. I say a blow by blow account of these spiritual battles and the outcome you will get are listed in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 beginning. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, James said, resist the devil, right? The same Holy Ghost wrote here. Whom resist, now, steadfast. Don't do it last year or last week and just stop there. Amen? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Bible says here, you know, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren which are in the world. But the God of all grace, look at the outcome, you stand. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he has suffered for a while, make you perfect. See? Only he can do it. Only he can make you perfect. Amen? Praise the Lord. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's the outcome. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just rest in him. So when that demonic spirit of fear launches one of his fierce missiles at your mind, what do you do? You must always be ready for a counterattack. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. The decision takes, advanced preparation. Be vigilant. Amen? Praise the Lord. Be sober and be vigilant. Have scriptures that banish fear. And praise your Lord ready in your heart and in your tongue. Amen? The psalmist said in Psalm 149, what I'm saying here, verse 6. No, Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth, in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And we are taught in Ephesians 6, this our own sword is the word of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So always be battle ready, you know, and so anytime he comes suddenly and so on, be ready, you know. So where the enemy looms on the horizon, use your weapons, amen? Fire your weapons. And I told you what they are. What is it? Speak the word, amen? Praise the Lord. Bind the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and defeat him with the word of God. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You don't chase him around with a shotgun. Praise the Lord. Take the word of the living God. The way the Lord, he taught us how to do it. Get him behind me, Satan. Amen. I said the other day, if you obey Christ and you are a child of God, he will obey you too. Amen.
Amen.
When you know your right, praise the Lord. Christ is in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know who you are. He then will obey you too. Anyway, so we see. And so let Christ arise within you. He is in you. Let his enemies be scattered, the Bible says. You are the victor. You are not a victim. Amen. Decide right now to put on a new mental attitude towards the battle ahead. See? You know? And put on a spirit of fierce determination and make up your mind that you will choose to press through every time. Amen?
Amen.
He that delivered us and does deliver and will yet deliver. Amen?
Amen?
That's what the scripture says in one place. Praise the Lord. Yes, all the time, as you hold on to the law, he will do it, as you know. So the Apostle Paul expressed this same valiant determination when he said in Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's one of the tricks of the devil. Take it backward and so on. Forget those things which are past. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are many, many glorious things to come in the, you know, ahead of you. So let go of the past and so on and look for the glorious that is going to come and so forth, you know. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And Bible admonishes you and I. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Praise the Lord. So now this morning, I believe, you know, we can hear God's battle cry to you and I this morning. He is telling you and I right now, saying in Joshua 1:9, last scripture here, no, this is the battle cry of the Lord to you and I this morning. Any battle you are fighting and so on. And he's saying to you this morning, Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded you? Be stronger and of good courage. Amen. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wherever you go, the Bible says, break through, don't be afraid, and press on in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will surely be victorious. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who causes us to triumph always through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. It's the strength of our life. David said in Psalm 18, I believe, he says, my rocker is my strength, is my high tower. Blessed be his holy name. Father, with him, we are more than conquerors. In all these things, we confess we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. So, Lord, we go here this morning, being reminded of whom we are, Lord. We need never to fear anything at all. The righteous shall be as bold as a lion. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in serving the lion of the tribe of Judah, and we are his children. So we thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. With the Lord be with us. No, we just say that word from Joshua 1:9. Be strong in the Lord and other places, you know, at the power of his might. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the new week. We bless your name, Lord, with this word of our exhortation, Lord. Never to fear. Our last time we are in the battleground and so forth. Spiritual warfare, but the Lord is the captain of the host, like he appeared to Joshua. Are you against out of I'm the captain of the host of the Lord, and he is with us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, winning every battle in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the new week, Lord, we commit to your hand, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, claiming the word of God, Lord, ordering our steps in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe, I will confess this morning, you will continue to crown the year with goodness in the mighty name of Jesus. And in the year to come, your path, our path shall be known. We draw fatness in everything that we do. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prosper the work of our hands, the promise. He said, whatsoever we do shall prosper. Lord, we claim it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Open unto us his good treasure. In the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your great goodness unto us. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy towards us, Lord. Let us walk daily by whom we are, unto him that loved us. You know, as I washed off from our sins, he has made us to be kings and priests unto God. Help us to walk kingly every day. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are the priests of God making spiritual, you know, thanksgiving unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the victory. The Bible says, you know, back, you know, little children, ye have overcome the wicked one already. We just appropriate it, and it is ours. We give you all the glory. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.